Changed by Love is the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel, Morris Hills, located in Dover, New Jersey. Our desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application for our lives. With that in mind...
We have not died physically, but we've died to this world. That this new life in Christ, right? And if we have it, therefore he becomes our life. Which sadly, I think a lot of people who would call themselves Christians are just unwilling to accept. They just don't want to, and that's why they don't really experience the joy of the Christian life. It's why everything is kind of a drudgery for so many people.
Until Jesus becomes everything to you, the Christian life can feel like a grind. Instead of finding a joyful life in Him, people often struggle to find it in their own good deeds and rule following. That completely misses what God intends for you. He wants you to experience freedom and joy. When you get saved, you're freed from the oppression of sin and the fear of death. You should be the happiest person on earth. Don't be like others who are miserable trying to do it all themselves. Jesus is better. Let's join Pastor Jim in Colossians chapter 3 with part 3 of his message, The Powerful Christian Life.
So many things can drag us away. I mean, this is the age of distraction. There's a million different things that are designed to take you and I away from focusing on Christ. And so we have to make a big effort on that. Now, this could be this kind of thinking, and I'm not saying that people in the ancient world didn't have these kinds of things. There's always something to do. And this could be where the idea of what we call a quiet time comes from. Some of you are newer to the faith, and that's okay. I'll explain to you what it is. It's setting daily time aside for the Word of God and prayer. It's just that simple. Most people that I know do it in the morning, even if they're not morning people, because they know if they wait till the end of the day, they fall asleep. Very spiritual, huh? And so generations of believers have used this as a way to seek the Lord and to set our minds on Him. So what are we trying to do? We're trying to reprogram our minds, reprogram our hearts. The Scripture says that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Well, social media is not much of a mind renewer. Television and YouTube is not much of a mind renewer. Laying around on your couch all day, reading the back of your eyelids is not much of a mind renewer. It's a big truck driving term. So logically, unless we are in some fashion, and I don't like to just limit it to the morning, you know, some people say, well, that's not prescribed in the Bible. I would say in principle it is. But unless our minds are preoccupied with the things of God, then we're just left to our own devices. We're just left to ourselves. One of the best things you can do, is I don't know what to do, is, you know, most of you come on Wednesday night, is Wednesday morning, get up and, you know, figure, well, maybe he'll do 3 verses tonight. But just read it through a few times. You know, read through the whole chapter. And just set your mind on it, or just get a Bible reading plan. They're all over the internet now. So, but again, we want to be aware of the Lord throughout the day. Now, some people are going to say, oh, this reading your Bible thing every day is legalistic. And you know what? It could be for some people. If you think that reading your Bible every day, God is like amazingly impressed, that's probably trouble. That's probably trouble. I mean, just think about it. Remember when I met my wife, and the first time we went out, we had been friends for a while. We just hung out with a whole group of people. We were friends for a while. I wasn't like, yeah, you're pretty lucky to be going out with me, babe. It was my privilege. Now, some of you ladies looking at me, you got that right, Pastor Jim. You definitely married up. But sometimes I think we think God's, you know, he's pretty happy, you know, that, wow, glad you're actually reading the Bible. At that point in time, you might be reading the Bible, but your Bible's not reading you. And so we are honored to be able to sit with God and hear from God. So again, I mean, some people think it's legalistic. Usually when people tell me that, I always go, can I ask you an honest question? I mean, you're nice people. You don't do what I do. I go, are you just lazy? Are you just lazy? Come on now. Come on. But many have found this to be a good practice to set that time aside, because if you don't, the world just starts to creep back in. And it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long at all. So we seek things above by deliberately setting our minds and our wills and our thinking about heaven. Why is that important? Well, once again, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Tell you a lot about, you know, how we spend our time, how we spend our money. That tells us a lot about where our heart really is. So how is this new thinking possible, and why is it so important? Well, it's interesting. He connects it to our past, our present, and our future. Look at verse 3. For you died, that's the past, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, that is the present. When Christ, who is our life, appears, that is the future, and then this great, great promise, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's our destiny. That's our future destiny. So once again, he reminds us that we died with Christ and we have this new life. Now, this is something that for people that are newer in the faith, and when we're talking to people about faith and stuff like that, our new life is not some add-on. See, that's why a lot of times people come to church and we talk about, you know, faith in Christ, and they think, they're like, oh man, my schedule is so busy already, I have no time to add this on to my life. I mean, I'm tapped out. I'm busy. This is not an add-on. That's not what this is. This is literally a new life. The old things have passed away. All things have become new, the Apostle Paul tells us. Now, that might sound weird to people, that you've died to the old life. But because obviously we have not died physically, but we've died to this world. That this new life in Christ, right? And if we have it, therefore he becomes our life. Which sadly, I think a lot of people who would call themselves Christians are just unwilling to accept. They just don't want to, and that's why they don't really experience the joy of the Christian life. That's why everything is kind of a drudgery for so many people. Because until he becomes your life, then your life is still your life. And then he's an add-on. And here's the deal. Jesus doesn't give the best to people who make him just an add-on. He's not going to do that. That would not be very loving of him. And so we identify with Jesus in his life, death, and resurrection in the sense that his life, death, and resurrection now becomes our life, death, and resurrection. And that's what makes the mindset change possible. Because he's going to move us into all kinds of things that people are going to would be reading this and going, these people are nuts. They're crazy. But now he says, at this moment, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, this just that expression right there could keep us here for another couple hours, but I won't do it to you, because there are so many different things that he could be talking about there. And you say, well, how do you pick which one is right? They probably all could be right. We talk about the resurrected life. The resurrected life. But that's not easily experienced, is it? It's not. I think that's part of our God wanting us to long for heaven, wanting us to long for the next life so we can really experience the resurrected life. But like Christ is sometimes for us, the resurrected life is not easily seen now. You know, way back in the day when I used to party a lot and then Christ came to me. I didn't go to him. He came to me. And then I stopped partying. I mean, I had this visible, tangible thing that was so different about me. You know, my friends were like, dude, same name, same address, same social security number, everything else different. But now I got to walk by faith. I don't feel like drinking and doing drugs anymore. I just like, I don't care. I want to do it. So now it's a life by faith. And so sometimes the things that once seemed so easy to see about Christ seem a little bit more hidden now. While my relationship with him is deeper, sometimes I'm like, where are you? What are you doing? Come on. The idea is some of the realities of heaven, like our identity as belonging to Jesus Christ, are hidden from us here on earth. And we have this yearning to experience that, don't we? And we chase after that. I make no illusions that you're here to listen to me tonight. I have none. I know you're here because you're chasing that life. Because there's part of it that you can taste, but there's part of it that's hidden. And your pursuit of what's hidden is why your friends think you're such a nut job. Because you are pursuing something that they have absolutely no concept of because they are spiritually dead. Because you and I are hidden with Christ in God, and we want to experience that, but they have hidden from Christ, away from God, which is why they totally don't get you. This is why, you know, they say, I can't believe you would give this up or give that up or not do that. But how many times have we said before that every great relationship comes with limitations? Love comes with restrictions. It just does. Ask anybody who's married. If you're single, ask anybody who's married. It comes with restrictions. You cannot just do whatever you want. It is unloving to the person that you're in union with. That's why our eyes must be fixed on Jesus and the things above, because they're naturally drawn away. Because as it says in the book of Philippians, that we are, our citizenship is in heaven. And so we have to remember that we are pilgrims. We are. This is not our home. Pilgrims are people who are on their way home. We're on our way home. I mean, these people, you turn on the television, they're all stressing out about an election that's a year and a half away. And people say to me, what do you think? I'm like, well, he ain't my king. Whoever they elect's not going to be my king. It's not going to happen. That's important, though, also, because not only some of the things that are hidden from us, but he says here that we are hidden with Christ in God. What does that mean? That means that we are hidden in a safe place, that we are hidden beneath the shadow of God's wings. Now, it's important to understand that we may still look the same as other people. You have two people, you're like, I don't know, that guy hidden with Christ? I have no idea. Watch people down, you know. Oh, yeah, that guy's hidden with Christ. He's walking 2 feet off the ground and he's glowing. Yeah, that's him. Who is that, St. Peter? We're going to see that. What happens to him this weekend? Jesus is going to tell him, you're not all you think you are, buddy. Just give it a few hours. Like he couldn't even do it a day. Just give him a few hours. And so we may look the same, but we're not the same. It may seem like we suffer the same. It may seem like we go through the same heartache. And people will say, well, hey, look what happened to you. Where is your God now? If being a Christian, everything that happened to you was great and wonderful, the whole world would believe in Jesus for all the wrong reasons. For all the wrong reasons. But just remember, when things are going wrong for you, going terrible for you, and that other voice is, you know, clamoring in your head, chase that other voice away and say, I am hidden with Christ in God. I'm in a safe place. May not seem like it right now, but that is the reality. The reality is not my circumstances. The reality is that I am hidden in the safe place. Interesting, it could even be an area of sin. You know it. People know it. People see it. But yet your sin and my sin is hidden with Christ and God. Other people's sin, it's not. It's not. God sees their sin. God doesn't see our sin. In verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, notice he says he's our life, not an add-on. He's a light. He is our life. That is true Christianity. That is becoming all God has intended you to be. So he talks about the second coming. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. See, one day, everybody will know who Jesus is. Everybody will know who Jesus is, and they will see the glory of Christ. But here's another thing they're going to see. They're going to see the glory of all those that were hidden in him. All the people that mock you out right now, all the people that think you're wasting your time, they're going to be singing a different tune on that day. They're going to be like, look, there's Christ. And oh, wow. Oh, wow. It's the people from that crazy warehouse church. On that day, the reality of our standing in Christ will be revealed. And I love it. He says, you will appear with him in glory. See, not only will others see that we belong to Christ, but we will see what we can't see now about all that that means. All that's hidden from you now won't be hidden then, or you just won't care. You say, how can you be so sure? I can, because notice the words hidden and appear. That which is hidden will one day appear. In other words, he's like, it's going to be as easy to see as night and day. You're not going to be confused at all. But that's why we need that power for patience and perseverance, for endurance, for long suffering. And our part in that power is to set our minds in the right place on a regular basis so we don't drift. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So what do we learn from that? That now we wait with confidence and security in Christ. But here's the thing. It's an active waiting. It's not a passive waiting. It's not an anxious waiting. We have to fight those things off. You say, okay, I want to have an active waiting. How can I be so confident to step out in faith? My simple answer is from Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the confidence. Without that, we don't really have much of anything. See, again, the point is what will be revealed in that day is already real. It's real now. The problem is we don't always believe it, and we don't always want to walk in it. But if we want to walk in it, then we've got to believe it, or we're just going to be trying and trying and trying. See, what's going to happen in that day is if you're a follower of Jesus, you will be seen as one. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you will be seen as not being one. Nothing will be hidden anymore. Now it's hidden. You go up to the mall, or you go walking in the park or something like that. You have no idea. You're just looking at people. There they are. And so you just see them, and you don't know who belongs to Christ and who doesn't. In that day, you'll know. You'll know. If you're not a follower of Jesus, the Lord Jesus wants to change that for you. There's only one condition, one. Everything's done, just one condition. You have to repent and believe. That's it. You have to repent. You have to, repent is to turn. You got to turn from your sin, turn from your unbelief, and you got to believe instead of trusting in yourself. So when you meet people, you say to them, you think you're going to heaven? They go, yeah. I go, why? They go, because I'm a good person. Who are they trusting in? Themselves. Great, great conversation opener. You'll be popular at parties. But you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. You know, I told you guys a couple weeks ago, one of my old college friends, people heard me on the radio down in South Jersey and stuff like that, and one of my old college friends calls me up, and we talked for a little while, about a month or two ago. Friday night, I'm running out the door to Awake, and my phone goes off, and it's him. My wife is like, you cannot take this call right now. And I said, well, drive fast. I can take this call. And he's like, man, I got to see you. I don't know why. I just got to see you, man. And so people are looking for something. They are. But you gotta put your trust in Jesus. See, it's all because of the unseen power of God that raises the dead, but that same power also empowers us to live for Him. That's for next week as we begin to go into that section. And so it empowers us to live for Him as Christ's victory over death empowers us for the victory of the Christian life. Interesting, he says, when Christ, who is our life, you know, that's really, if he's our life, then we, as his people, we do our best with his help to live it out. And some people will be attracted to it, and some people will think it's weird. We never know which is which, but that's part of our way of making the way for the coming king. You know, people say stuff like, well, what do you want to be found doing when Jesus returns? And I'm just like, I just want the whole pattern of my life to be not worried about that. You know, I don't want him to be like, oh, caught you at a good moment, Jim. Right? That's not what I'm looking for. So do we live this life perfectly? No, we don't live this life perfectly. We live life out in faith and trusting the one who saves and sanctifies and the one who's promised to take us home. And one last point I just want to make. You know, we talk about our identifying with Jesus and have our identity in him. But this verse here, verse 4, tells us an amazing thing. It says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. It's amazing how Jesus identifies with his people. It's amazing how often the scripture connects Jesus to his people and doesn't separate us. So that throne room of grace, that seated at the right hand of God, if you want to know Christ and you want to live this life, you got to spend a lot of time there. You got to spend a lot of time there. Morning, lunch hour, a couple minutes in the car, wherever you get a chance. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on Christ, the one who's seated at the right hand of God, because you want to make sure you know him when he appears so you can appear with him in glory.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us on today's edition of Changed by Love with Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel Morris Hills in Dover, New Jersey. Would you like to hear this message again? Simply log on to our website, www.changedbyloveradio.com. There, you can listen to archived broadcasts, load our mobile app, as well as listen to Pastor Jim's easy-to-follow, verse-by-verse teaching on much of the Bible. You can also request a CD of this message in its original, unedited form on our website. If you would prefer to write to us, our address is Changed by Love, 158 West Clinton Street, Dover, New Jersey, 07801. That's Changed by Love, 158 West Clinton Street, Dover, New Jersey, 07801. or you can give us a call at 973-659-3380. Once again, that's 973-659-3380. Changed by Love is sponsored by listeners like you. We are so thankful for your continued support and prayers that allow us to bring our show to you on this station. Make sure you tell your friends and family about Changed by Love on this station, as well as how to listen to Pastor Jim on our website and mobile app. In the next edition of Changed by Love, Pastor Jim will continue teaching through God's Word. Glance at the clock right now, and please make plans to join us next time to be encouraged, comforted, and challenged by the Word of God. You are all a blessing to us. We hope to see you next time here on Changed by Love.